photography lovers, and welcome to another Wednesday episode of the Fashion Photography Podcast. Here we meet some of the best photographers, makeup artists, stylists, and so on and so on. The best people in the industry, basically. So today, my guest is absolutely mesmerizing. I love his work. I love the way he talks. I love the way he explains things because he's just so good at this. And it's really just so nice to listen to him. But I know that this is why you're here. So let me just give you some of the highlights from today. We are going to talk about nudity in photography and what are the unwritten rules of how to keep your distance and preserve the respect of yourself and your model on a naked photo shoot. What to do if you want to shoot nudes, but you're not comfortable enough to ask. Of course, this is the Fashion Photography Podcast, so we do need fashion. And this, of course, is also part of the conversation. But regardless of the genre, there's one major thing. You have to overcome self-doubt. And we're talking about this today. And if you're asking yourself, what are some of the steps that you can do tomorrow to start attracting clients? This is also one of the questions that we are answering. So definitely stick to the podcast. But before that, I want to remind you that there are some exclusive episodes that you cannot find here at the podcast, but you can find on our YouTube channel. So definitely check it out. It's, of course, the Fashion Photography Podcast on YouTube. And you need to subscribe to it because there is a ton of useful info and we're not just talking. We're straight away showing behind the scenes photos, behind the scenes videos, and you can easily understand the mindset of these amazing guests. So I really hope that you're going to love the YouTube channel. Of course, subscribe to it, like the videos, tell us in the comments what you think. And now it's simply time for a podcast.
Hello, my name is Amar Muhammad. I'm a Syrian fashion photographer based in Moscow. I've been living here for almost 8 years, and I practically started from zero in Moscow.
What about before Moscow? Where have you been?
I've been living in Syria, Damascus, for my whole life, till 19, when I had to move here due to the war situation. Mm-hmm. I actually moved here to study architecture. And so, graduating architecture, I started shooting my friends in the dormitory where I was to live. And I was having this small Nikon camera, which is just like D90 Nikon, if you know this, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I started shooting my friends at the dorm. Like, there was Chinese, there was like a lot of people who were like mixed nationalities that I've never seen before. And it was really exotic for me to shoot these people. So I was telling everyone that I want to pursue to be a fashion photographer. So can you help me and can you be a model for me? And I was shooting all my friends around. I was studying language at that time because you need to study Russian to study in the university because it's really hard. Mm-hmm. So back then I was living in a small city, which is called Ivanova, which is a small city close to Moscow, like 250 kilometers. This is close for Russia, you know.
True. Yeah.
And I went after 6 months to this modeling agency in the city, in the same city. And I asked the modeling director if I can have some models to shoot. And I was showing her the portraits that I was taking. And I remember her telling me in English, this is just fan art. This is not fashion. It will never be fashion. Forget this. Keep your camera away and just study Russian because your Russian sucks.
Oh, God.
Yeah, I think she motivated me the much to do what I'm doing right now. Because come on, look at me now and look at me when I was there. You know, being like, I went home. I remember that day I went home. I was crying all the way. It was snowing. It was really cold. And I called my mom and I told her, this is happening and I will never be anything, my mom. And my mom told me, like, I told you, you just should study architecture. You have the camera. You shoot at your friends. You gave it a try. So this is not what is happening. You know, mm-hmm. You're talented, but this is not yours. And I was like, no, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this. And so I started on and on meeting some models around the city because the city has a lot of models who go out of the country. Like, I mean, yeah. And I started meeting a lot of models, paying for the studio just to spend some time with them. And actually, my first time in the studio was amazing.
Really?
I It was really bad. I went to the studio. So the studio is like the studios that they shoot only for clothes, you know, like they have like a white background, white floor, two light settings, and it's really, really cheap equipment. You know, the equipment is not really on a high level. And when I went in, he gave me the synchronizer and he told me, this is the synchronizer, so you can do whatever you want. And I was like, where do I connect it? I didn't even know how to connect it to the camera. And he was like, are you serious? And I was like, yeah, how do I connect it? So I connected it to the camera. The owner was the same guy who was there at the time. And he was like, do you know how to use it? And I was like, no, can you tell me? And he was like, this is how you press the light. This is how you make it more, make it less. You can move the light. If you break anything, you're going to pay for it. That's all. That's all that I knew. I didn't know about presets. I didn't know how to open my camera, you know, like diaphragma or something like this. I knew that I can use ISO and I can use autofocus. Like, hello. And really, I remember that I was taking like 10 pictures and the pictures were fully white or fully black. And I was like, what's happening? Why can't I see her? Like, what is happening? And then the guy comes again and he's like, what's happening now? And I was like, I cannot see the model in the photo. And he's like, you should do this. Like, you should put it 5.8. You should put the ISO on 100 and something like this and just experiment, you know? And I was like, oh, okay. All right. I'll try to do this. And I remember that the first photo shoot was total blast. It was zero. And I think I started going out to the studio because it was underground studio and it was almost all the time free because nobody shoots at this city. They shoot only like trikotage or something like clothes, you know, for the sales. They don't have models life. They don't have magazines in here, anything. They just shoot for the website. Totally like front shoot, side shoot. And that's all. Next stuff, next stuff, next stuff. So I started going there, paying him like around $10 for an hour.
Oh, okay.
Right? It's like cheap. So I started going out there with models. I feed the models like McDonald's, coffee, you know, something like this. And they pose for me. And then I try to edit in something. And yeah, that's how I started learning how to Photoshop. Imagine.
I hope that now you're not feeding your models with McDonald's.
I kind of feed them pizza. I love Domino's pizza. And when we have like a really long shoot, I crave for Domino's pizza. And I'm like, I want the Domino's pizza, hot pizza. So I'm feeding everyone pizza. So, and they're like, no. And I'm like, this is what's happening. We're eating pizza.
Okay. Tell me about the reaction of your model on this very first shoot of yours, because it sounds hilarious. I would really love to know what she was thinking.
Well, actually, she was like a model, but she was a model for this city. So the level of the photographs in this city was like not that high, but she was like a friend of mine.
Oh, okay.
So yeah, she was like, okay with it. I told her that I'm learning. I already texted that because I wasn't speaking Russian. Again, I was speaking like English because like my English is better than my Russian at the time. Mm-hmm. And I was like speaking in English and she's okay with it. We became friends and actually we've worked a lot together on a lot of subjects.
Okay, so tell me how from a moment like this, when you were not even able to set your lights, you went to shooting for big clients, and you certainly have this amazing level now.
It's like a long story. I will try to short it up. So Moscow is like the capital, and there's a lot of models and stuff like that. So I kept going on to the studio, try to learn some light schemes, and there wasn't like a lot of light. Like, as I told you, there was like only two lights and something. But I kept experimenting with models. At that time, I used to take some naked photos of the models because like I didn't have any stylist available. Or it was me, you know, like buying some glasses, buying flowers, something like this. And actually, the photos, like in half a year, they kind of turned out something nicer. So I was like thinking that I was following a lot of people in Moscow who are like Moscow models, stylists, photographers. And some of them right now, like they are my friend and some of the photographers aren't even my level. Like I look at them right now and I'm like, what happened? You were like better than me, you know, where are you now and where am I now? So I started going to Moscow, which is like 6 hours by bus. And like I leave my house around like 6 a.m. I'm in Moscow around 12 a.m. I go to the studio where I texted a model and the stylist and something. I pay for the studio. And there is the studio was almost like it was expensiver than here. So like a couple of hours, it was like around $100, $150. In Russia, that is almost like that's a lot of money in 2013. Mm-hmm. So I started going, meeting them and trying also to work there. You know, like shooting tests, but, you know, in different lights because I was there, they had different lights there, so the equipment was more expensive than here. Mm-hmm. In my city. And I started just meeting people, texting people, and trying to get on contact and meeting some stylists. And actually, I got help from a lot of people because they liked the way my vision is. It was like more sexually. If you check my work earlier, you will see a lot of nudity, you know.
I think it's the perfect time to plug in your website here. So do you want to share your website?
Yeah, my website is www.aymermohammed.com.
And of course, it's linked in the show notes so you know how to find it nice and easy. So, yeah, you were telling me about the more sexual side.
Yeah, I was like, I really like nudity. I think from my whole life, from growing up in Syria, because I was growing up in an Arabic country, you know, there's some limits and stuff. Mm-hmm. I don't think that the nudity that I'm doing, it's because I was repressed in my childhood. I was really living a very free life childhood. I had piercings. I had tattoos around 14 or 15. I was studying in a mixed school and I was learning English. So my life was really like I am living right now. There's no difference. So I don't think that me into nudes is because I am repressed in my childhood. It's just mm-hmm. because I'm celebrating sexuality, because I think there are some models, when I look at them, I can see them naked. And there are some models that I look at them that I will never see them naked, because it's like you see the person and you're like, bam, this person should be naked and this person should. It's because of the energy, you know?
I love it. Yeah. I completely agree with you. I would love to talk more about nudity in just a bit, because I think you're very good at this and you can give us some great tips on that.
Sure. Yeah, so people in Moscow were really amazed, because at that time there wasn't a lot of people who were doing nudity, and I was doing this, and people were trusting me because I work with a model as a model. I don't work with her as a sex object, mm-hmm. regardless of the sex of the model. So I really, when the model like change or they strip, I look aside. I never look them in the front. I never like to show sexual organs, you know. I never want them to be in my photo. I just want them to be hidden, because I think that this part of you should be only for your loved ones.
Yeah.
I like it when you feel that the model wants herself. I'm just talking about women practically, but I mean even men, you know, and they're like touching themselves. And I think the really good way to work with nudity is when you take a photo, you like this photo, and you show it to the model in the process. This is how I work all the time. If it's nude, if it's just work on the computer, if it's anything, I always come to the model and I tell her, okay, your body looks nice here, but look at the face, look at the neck. We should take this, do something.
I do exactly the same.
And this is really good, because, you know, they trust you. They see themselves from the other side, because come on, when you are showering, you feel really sexy. But hello, take a video of yourself. Let me see you how sexy you look like, you know? It'll be like totally different.
I love this example. It's true. Yeah.
Ah, so come on. I think working in with models, even if it's nude or something, it's like it's a process. Usually I lay down next to them, you know, but not like next to them, next to them. We have like different, like a distance, because I always shoot nudes on my 85 Nikon, mm-hmm. 1.4. And so it's like a lot of distance, because I like how it gives a lot of sharpness in the shot. So I like nudes on this, you know. And like, it's a really big distance, because 85 is like a couple of meters. So yeah, and I think that working on nude, it's really about, you shouldn't be looking at the model as a sex object. This is like really important. You shouldn't touch them. You shouldn't oil them. You shouldn't do this. Like if the model says, can you please oil me? No, there's a makeup artist who will oil you, or you can oil yourself, you know, because in a way, in or out, you will be called like, he touched me, he oiled me, or something like this. I don't want to have this reputation. And I will never want this to happen, you know?
Yeah.
Even like, there are models who are like really my friends. Like, I know them for 6 years, for 7 years, for how long I've been here. I never oil them, mm-hmm. you know?
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a really important tip, because there's a thin line between being on work and being attracted to. Because come on, we're all human. And when you're naked, you're very, how do you call it? You're very open. You're sliced open. You know, there's nothing more intimate than you being naked to a person. So a lot of people, when they're after the naked shoot, they started telling me, well, my mom used to abuse me. Well, my dad did this to me and I went shopping the next morning, you know, like you get some stuff after this, because the people are really open to you.
Mm-hmm. So they get really vulnerable.
Yeah, they're like really vulnerable. I had so many clients that come to me to shoot for nudes. And then the next day she calls me after the shoot, where she took the photos, and she's like, you know, I'm cheating on my husband. And I'm like, why are you telling me this? Why should I know this? And, you know, like, I feel like really good and something like this. And like, why should I know this? You know, but it's just because they became very vulnerable. They're open to you. So you can, it's like really thin line.
Mm-hmm. Sounds yeah. like so. Okay, do you remember the very first time you asked a model to post a nude for you?
I do, of course. It was like fully nude or like nude?
Tell me about both.
One of them was in Syria, actually. I had a friend, her name was Emma. Yeah, I had like this big lamp.
You're adventurous. I love that.
Yeah, and I actually showed my mom.
Okay.
So it was like a photo pre-nude. She was like wearing a bra, a small bra, and she was like only a close shot from under her boobs to her head. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, can you take off the bra and we can do it nude? And like she knew about everything. And she was like, yeah, sure, I will do this for you. And she did it. And it was like my first ever nude shoot, which was in Syria. Mm-hmm. That was like 2012.
Okay.
In my house. Housemate. But in Russia, it was around 2013 or 2000. Yeah, in the end of 2013, which was my friend Masha. She came and she was moving it. She was moving her hair. She was taking off her clothes. She was touching herself. You know, it was like a small erotic movie of a person moving and stripping and laying down. And that was amazing. I love Masha. She's like really true inspired to me.
Oh, so nice. So you got a muse.
Yeah, I got a lot of muses, actually.
I love that. Okay, so tell me, what would be your advice for the people that really want to shoot nudes, but they're not feeling comfortable enough to ask their models to do that for them? So what would you advise them to do?
If you're not comfortable to asking your model to do nude, it means that it's not the time for you to do this, you know? Mm-hmm. I think, that's 100% sure. But I'm starting in Russian. I'm thinking that... doing nude is a really, really thin line of photography because there's a thin line between nude and pornography, you know?
Yeah.
It's the way you feel the shot. So I think usually to me what happens, we're shooting something with a model, like it's a work or it's an editorial or something. And in the end, I have like spare time, like 30 or 40 minutes. And I'm like asking, would you like to strip for some shots, you know? And if she says yes, then we do it. If she says no, she doesn't. That's okay. That's totally fine. You shouldn't be pissed if the person says no, because if you don't have this in your portfolio, then they will be like, not really happy to do it the first, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to have nudes, I think you should do just like I did. You should have a really close friend or a cross model who will be trying to shoot nudes on them, because like, come on, the first time will not be like the perfect time, you know?
Yeah.
Unless if you're like on a really good level.
Mm-hmm.
I don't mean anything to anyone who's listening, but I mean, the nude shoot is how you feel the shot. It should be sensual. It should be pretty. The light should be nice. I mean, there should be this connection between you and the model. So I think if you do it with a close model friend or a close friend for the start, so you can see how this is happening, how you feel about it, because some people can get an erection on shoots and some people will, you know, like this happens.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I think like this is the most important part. And the second part, it shouldn't be in front of a lot of people.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's important.
Yeah, because come on, if there's like a team of 15 person and you're telling the model to strip, she's not getting paid for this. I don't think she will say yes, you know.
Mm-hmm. And I would also add that maybe you should go with a light that you are very comfortable with, something that you won't think about. In addition to the shoot, because if there are more and more factors that are making you nervous, I don't think the result is going to be great.
Yeah, and I think it's the way how you see the body, you know, if you're comfortable with the way you are, you'll be comfortable with the other person. This is like 100%, because I was having some body issues about me of the way I look like, because I see unrealistic bodies, you know, I see the abs, I see the, mm-hmm. the boobs. I see the chests, the everything. And I was in a point of me starting. I was like really not comfortable with myself. So I wasn't like really into this. But then I got comfortable with the way I look like. So I'm now comfortable with anybody I see, you know, whatever the body shape.
That's very interesting. Do you want to tell us about this journey of yours? How did you overcome a self-doubt like this?
Yeah, you know, I was actually told a lot by a person that I used to love that I should go to the gym and I'm super skinny and I'm not looking nice and this person looks better, this person's abs looks better, this person's fits looks better and something like this. And I was really getting like devastated because come on, if the person that loves you is mm-hmm. telling you this, like it's shit. So and one morning I woke up and I was like, I'm not going to be like this. I like the way I look like. I think I look nice.
You do.
Thank you so much.
Of course.
It took me a lot of while to work on myself. So yeah, I just said to myself, I'm comfortable the way I am. If the person doesn't like me because of my body shape, they can, you know.
Absolutely. Yeah, you're right. It's very important for us to be aware of our good sides. And I think if we are ready to accept them, everything, as long as we are not harming anybody else with our actions or what we do or say, I think everything in us is just beautiful, no matter what, right?
Of course. If you're comfortable looking like this, it's like, it's your body. You're living in it. You're sleeping in it. You're waking up in it, you know?
Yeah.
And I think it's really important that you will love it, you know? I got a lot of tattoos right now. Like, I'm fully almost tattooed. Mm-hmm. And I love tattoos. And since childhood, I think this is sexy. And it really attracts me. Like, I'm not into myself. I just like tattoos. But I mean, like, I wanted to be like this. And I am now like this. And I feel more comfortable because of it. I don't want to go to gym and work out like 100 hours like all the models and then go out just to attract someone. If I don't attract someone because of who I am, then it's not happening.
Absolutely. I think that's the reason why you're showing bodies like this, because you know that everybody is beautiful. And I really find that very exciting, because you're not showing just one body. On a lot of your shoots, there is more than just one person. So this is so interesting for me, because you're not just getting your model comfortable in front of you. You're getting them comfortable in front of other people, along with other people.
Yeah. And you know why? It's because of my, I think it's one very important part. It's because of my energy. I don't look at them as a sexual object. Again, this is really important. So when we're shooting naked, I always ask the model, are you comfortable with doing this? Is it okay if you do this? Can you please like turn to the side and hold like this? And can you move like this, you know? Mm-hmm. And when it's a group of people, actually my first group, I think it was four models, girls. And they came, they all knew me, they all knew my work. And we're all like, how do you, acquainted it, you know, in a point. In a point, like they knew me, they knew my Instagram, we follow each other and we like each other. So I texted three models. I was like, can you do a photo shoot like naked together? I will buy boots and I will have a makeup artist. So, and they were like, yeah, sure, we will do this. So the four models come like 30 minutes difference, because you need to get makeup and hair done. And they stood all next to each other. And I was like, okay, now we're going to strip. And I find women very accepting of other women's bodies more than men, you know.
Ooh.
Men are like, when I had three men together in fully glitter shoot, I think you saw that.
Yeah,
we were like, we had something put on their like men genitals or on their stuff. And they were really looking at each other's stuff, because I think they were like jealous of each other. And that's something like really funny. Come on, like, why?
It is, yeah.
Yeah, but women, like the models, they had like different boob size, different body shapes, different heights, but they were really, really, really like moving along. So I was telling them, let's do this. You will lay down, you will stand, you will hold her and something like this. And they did it. Then I showed them on the photo and they're like, oh, let's correct this. Like one of the models says, I don't like my face from this side. Let's try this side. And I'm like, okay, sure, let's do it. And then they move. So I think it's really important to connect.
Were those models all real professional models?
Yeah,
absolutely. It makes a lot of sense to me, because if you just put four random people that, for example, are aspiring models, you will never have this type of result. So it's very important to work with professionals when you're doing things like this. While we are on the topic of naked models, can we go to the shoot that you already mentioned about the glitter along with men? So while we are on the topic, tell me, how do you clean up a studio after a full body glitter shoot?
Oh my God. Do you know that when we bought like a lot of stuff that closed the floor, it was like plastic that closed the full studio.
Mm-hmm.
And then the makeup artist was making them glitter. And one guy had his girlfriend. So imagine his girlfriend seeing three naked men. It's okay.
Oh man.
And she was doing him glitter. I was standing next to the makeup artist and we were doing all the men glitter. And they were moving. There was like really close shots. There was like three asses shot and they were like really close to each other. You know, there's some shots with like really like almost with a gay, I don't know, with a gay visual. But they were like really okay with it and the men were straight. And when we finished in the studio, they had like a shower. So when after the third guy showered, the water drain got stuck. Because of the glitter.
Oh, no.
And it started going out. And I was in the studio. The director runs to me and he's like, the water drain stuck, motherfucker. And I was like, it's okay, we will pay for this. How much do you need? Just I'll pay for it, no problem. And I paid for it. And for the cleaning, I didn't clean it. I paid for cleaning. Of course, I cannot be cleaning all of this. It costed like $50. So come on.
Oh, okay. For $50. Like,
there's a woman that cleans the studio, so she cleans the studio. But I mean, when the water drain got stuck, that was something.
Okay, so I love the fact that you're investing a lot in your photo shoots, which is so good.
I usually pay a lot in my photo shoots. For example, if we want to talk about this, I think that me growing up in photography, I wanted to be a next level, and it took me like a couple of years till I understand that next level. It means like you're doing decoration, you're investing in your work. So it's not only getting a nice model, nice clothes, and nice studio. You should get a background. You should get a full story. You know, I'm not the photographers who can shoot like a street style story where you see her eating, moving, and she's thinking about something. And you know, when you look at the full visual, it's like a story. I don't have this. But I can connect the full story in decoration. So I contacted, like, my first time of this, I asked my friend, which is a designer, Daria Kochnova, and she's an amazing graphic designer. And I told her, I want to have a black and white shoot, and this is the clothes. Can you please draw me a background? I will print it. So she drew me background. I printed it like 2 meters on 2.5 meters. So it's like almost a square. And I glued them to a box, and I started making a decoration. So this was like the first time I ever made a decoration for my shoot. And it actually turns out really good. It's on my Behance if you want to check it.
Awesome.
And then the next level, when I put it this, a lot of people gave me a big feedback because people were like, wow, the clothes are like the same lines as the model, what she's wearing and what's the background. So people were really into it. And it costed me like not a small amount of money, but this was my investment in it. And actually it got featured in a magazine. And then I was like, what if we have like, I was really inspired by Barbie in my childhood. And I was like, I want to have a Barbie pink room. And then I went to the shop in my city, in the small city. And I was like, do you have 20 meters of pink fur? Fox fur, like not. And they were like, yeah, sure, we can get you in a week. And I was like, okay, perfect. So I called my stylist friend, Nadia. She's an amazing stylist in Moscow also. And I was like, hey, would you like to have a pink shoot? And she was like, what do you mean? And I was like, everything pink, 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 pink color everywhere. And she was like, okay, I'm in. And she was like, how many models? And I was like, let's have 4 models. And she was like, seriously? And I was like, yeah, let's have 4 models. And then so 4 models come in. The full room is pink. I got this telephone, this old telephone. I glued it with fur. I colored it pink. I got some shoes, which is like from secondhand or something like this. I glued them fully fur. So when you look at it, you don't know what brand is it or what is it, because it looks really cool because I bought pink fur and I was gluing all of this. So yeah, I think I worked a lot on my photo shoots, and the photo shoot turns out really cool. And then we got some letters from a friend who does designing and interiors and stuff. And that's how I started working on my photo shoot. So every photo shoot had a concept, had a special made decoration. And then I went from that. And my biggest ever that I've done, it was a graffiti room. It was like 5 models, 5 different decoration. The whole decoration took us to do 1 week, also with my friend Dasha, the designer that I told you about. Mm-hmm. I hope you can put her link if you don't mind.
Oh, of course.
Stylist Nadina Smirnova. It's the same team. I'm always loyal to my team. And it was like, it took us a week because I told Dasha how I feel it. Like, I wanted to have the Brooklyn vibe, you know. I wanted to have the Megan Thee Stallion vibe, you know, like the rap, the women who are like really sexually active, you know, the graffiti in the back thing. And then we made a lot of custom made stuff for this shoot also. We got a custom made Chanel bag, which is an original bag. My friend Dasha drew on it some Chanel in colors so it can fit the vibe. We made a custom made how do you call it, where you sit, a duvet.
Okay, yeah.
It was custom made with Chanel's, and we drew it and then we threw it anyway. And some shoes. We got a jacket custom made. We made a fur jacket custom made for the shoot, and the rest it was mixed from designers and stuff. And I think that, like, we have a video. I have a video about it backstage. It's in my Behance.
Awesome. Perfect.
Yeah, I hope you can see it. It was like a really cool shoot. I had 2 makeup artists, 2 hair artists. I had stylist, her assistant, 5 models, me, a light assistant, my friend Dasha, who's a designer. It was a really big shoot. It took me 1 week to fix all the decoration. Then they stood up and everything. And yeah, I think this is like one of my proudest work.
Are you always involved in the set design, or sometimes you just let other people do it?
Almost 90% it's mine.
Oh my God. And is it the same with the clients?
It depends. Some clients come to me and they're like, we want to have a set design. So I give them my idea of what I think about it. For example, Playboy came to me for the cover shoot and they told me, we want to have your set design. And I was like, okay, I can see it like this. I want to have a wall which we will see the Playboy head and the model will go out from the head. This was like my idea. And when I came to Playboy, to the main, how do you call it, where people meet, I mean the Playboy directory, we were sitting, I gave the idea. It was like four women who work on TV, they're TV presenters. And they were like, we love the idea, let's have it. And that was like also my teamwork, my stylist, my makeup artist, all my team. And it was like, yeah, 100% my idea. So sometimes some clients say they want mine, some clients they want theirs. Yeah.
Okay. And have you ever had a situation when, for example, a client is like, I've got my set designer, we're gonna handle this, and you were just devastated when you see the final result?
A lot of them.
Oh no.
I know. A lot of my commercial work, I just don't post it because, you know, it's not like it's bad or something. It's just because I don't like how the set works work. But a lot of my commercials are like cream commercials, you know, product commercials and something like this. But when it comes to set design, I've worked 2 times with set designers, which was my friend, but I think the brief wasn't that good. Or I think that they just didn't give a lot of money because I know that when I got the Playboy shoot, they had like a budget, but I went over the budget and I paid my own money because this is my work. Hello, like this will be seen on the print. This will be seen anyway, and it will attract clients. So I was like, your budget was like $100 for wherever it is, but I paid 600. You know, but I wasn't sad about it because I was putting my own money in my work, and this work gave me another client, which came from France because of this cover, you know. So,
It's always like
yeah.
that, isn't it? You
Yeah,
put
it is.
money into something and you gain a lot out of it later.
Yeah, I think money shouldn't stay in your pocket. If you have like more than $3,000 in your pocket, you're not living. You should spend it. You should do something. I mean, money should circulate.
True.
Yeah, because if you're sitting on money, you will not go anywhere. And I pay for my retouchers and something like this. I pay for set designers, for collage artists. It just depends. It depends where I'm doing, what I'm doing. And I like always to do something new. So now I'm stuck. I'm not sure what I should do next because I've had set design. I've had like a lot of models naked. I've had a lot of stuff. And now I'm thinking what to do next.
I'm sure you'll come up with it, maybe even after the podcast. We've got a lot of inspirational episodes on our website, so if you haven't listened to all of them, you can definitely check them out because there are lots of ideas just like that. So maybe you have some sort of advice for the people that are listening to a podcast now on how to find paying clients, because in order to invest in your photography, in your passion projects, you need some sort of initial financial injection, right? So maybe we can come up with the things that people can do straight away to find some new clients.
All my client base is Instagram based.
Oh, that's so interesting.
I got even asked to shoot for a big, big campaign from Instagram.
Oh.
So I think it's really important to work on your social media. It's really important to have a social media image or representation. You shouldn't have 100,000 followers. You should have a normal amount of followers. You should have an Instagram that has a lot of color. You should have a nice Instagram fitted to your vision. You should always follow your vision because the client will come to your for your vision, not for their vision. Of course, they have every client or every brand has its own brand book, but they go to you because they like your vision and they want to see their brand book through your vision. So this is really important. It's really important that you understand that it will be a lot of time before you get the clients that you want to, you know. It's not like boom and you're shooting for whatever it is, you know. It will be really starting from zero, and it's really important to have good reputation. Shouldn't be angry on set or something because the way how you move yourself on the set, this designer or this stylist knows another person and he will be telling him, yeah, I like Amir because he's really nice and he's cute and he's nice and something like this. And so people will talk about you more. You understand, right? So I think this is also important. But I never like searched for a client. I never did. I think I targeted my Instagram like 2 or 3 times. I made this Instagram posts, you know, for money promoted. And that's all. I think this is like my important, this is how it's happening to me. So I don't know
Of
how is it
course.
better.
That's the idea behind the whole podcast, that people can see that different approaches are actually working so that they can pick up their approach or just make sure that what they do is enough. So I love the fact that you said that you don't need like a million followers in order to be a successful photographer and have work from Instagram. So for me, that was important because many people think that for some reason, they need to have all of the followers out there so that they can make money out of their photography. And I think what you're saying is so interesting to me. So you've never approached a client?
Myself, no.
Whoa, that's so amazing. Okay, I've got another question for you while we're on the note of the things that are very interesting to me this time. Why did you pick Moscow? This was part one of our interview. And the next part is going to be up on Wednesday, of course. Next Wednesday, here again on the Fashion Photography Podcast. You can find all of our previous episodes, you know where, right? photographypodcast.net. And there is also a donate button. So if you feel like we're providing you with some useful info and that you're learning from the podcast, you can support the show by donating $1 or $2 per month. And I know that it seems like it's not really a thing, but to us, it really means a lot. But guys, if you don't have the opportunity right now, we completely understand. There are other ways to help us help you. And one of the most powerful one is to share the podcast. Share the podcast with all of the people that you think would be interested in listening. And this, guys, is gonna be amazing. Thank you so much for being with us today. Thank you so much for subscribing to our YouTube channel, the Fashion Photography Podcast. I really hope that you like the content there. And of course, I cannot wait to see you next Wednesday.